Yeah. take to page 100. Vaja Hure Mana Shri Nanda Nandana, Govindadas Kaviraj, we'll just sing that song. Vajahure mana Srinanda nandana Abhaya charanare vindare Vajahure mana Srinanda nandana Abhaya charanare vindare Vajahure mana Srinanda nandana Abhaya charanare vindare Vaja Hure Mana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charanare Vindare Vaja Hure Mana Srinanda Nandana Abhaya Charanare Vindare Vajahure mana Srinanda nandana Abhaya charanare vindare Sita yadava Malavarishana Yedina yamini jagire Vajahure mana Srinanda nandana Abhaya charanare vindare Good night.
Sena sakhi jana atami vedana Govinda dasa bhila sare
പുത്ര ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയരവിന്ദ് ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയന്ന തിരുരാ പ്രവിഷ്ണോമിഷ്ണുപാദ ബ്രഹ്മംസ പരിപ്രജകാചാര്യ ശ്രൂത്ര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വ മഹാരാഷ്ട്ര പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹരദാസ് താക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാംക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാംക്ക് ഇന്ദുമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവീർ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗരവനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനധിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതിം സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധു ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപ്പതിരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹൽ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസജാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥ ജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോത്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹര പേപീയമാനം മുത ഭൂയാദ്ധാരതപങ്കജ കലിമലപ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യബ്രഹ്മാവരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർവേദൈ സാംഗവദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണേ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Last Sunday, we were discussing from Bhagavad Gita two of the most important verses. If these two verses are understood properly, then the one is in a position to understand the importance of human life and also the process by which one can free oneself from this cycle of birth and death. It is a critical thing in one's life, that human form of life Krishna has given us. By Krishna's arrangement, we have got this human form. And after obtaining in this form, what is one's responsibility? This is the question we have in front of us. And in order to answer that question, Krishna has spoken those two verses in this chapter, where Krishna says, Andhakaleja mameva smaran mutva kalevaram yalpayasidamal bhavam yadinastyatra samshayaham yam yam vavismaran bhavam tejatyande kalevaram tam tam he vaidhi kaundeya sadatad bhava bhavidah. So with these two verses, Krishna has told us that if you act in this particular way, that somehow the other, you train yourself that you are able to remember Krishna at the time of death, then you go back to Krishna. There is no more material body afterwards. This is the guarantee in those two verses. So, and because of that we have mentioned about this also, that how in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the very topic of discussion from the very beginning, when Suda Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi and the other great sages assembled in Naimisharanyam, when they asked the different questions to Suda Goswami, it was the same, very same question. Avanna samsadim ghoram. That what one should do. Yannama vishayiknan tado sadhyavimucheda tvalbibedi swayam bhayam. That how one can release oneself from the fear of death. This was what was the question that was asked by the sages to Shaunaka Rishi, to Suda Goswami in Naimisharanyam. So, abanna samsradim ghoran, yannama vivasho ogrinan, tato sadhya vimucheda, yelbhivedi swayam bhayam. How one can free oneself from fear. It is this fear that is constantly following us like a shadow throughout our material existence. Everyone, nobody can say that he is free from this fear. Right from the end, right up to the topmost personality in this planet, everyone is fearful every second. Fearful of something or the other. We have spoken about that in last Sunday. So this fear, how do we come out of that? That is what the answer starts from Suda Goswami to the sages in Naimisharanyam. That is what we were talking about last Sunday. So we have to continue further, because this topic in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important subject matter for all of us to absorb and to discuss and think about it in detail, so that we become serious about our commitment to spiritual life. That is why it's so important. And if we don't analyze it sufficiently within our own mind, ourselves, it may happen that we may not properly understand the gravity of the situation, what Krishna has been trying to present through these verses. As I mentioned before, that the whole Vedic literature answers these questions. Vedavyasa Maharshi in his various Puranas, Mahabharatam, and also through the various Brahma Sutram and everything, this answer to this question is what is discussed. Only thing is, it is discussed through in different ways, so that somehow or the other people grasp it. The Vedas and the Vedas particularly, and especially the Upanishads, which forms a part of the Vedas, the four Vedas, they are not literature which has been written down or compiled by anyone. They were not compiled by anybody. That has come from Krishna, and that has been revealed through the sages. The sages received it through their, what is known as darshanam, through their
performances of austerities and penances, these were revealed to them by Krishna's arrangement. So they were not compiled by anybody. And it has come from Krishna. Krishna is the origin of all the Vedas. Upanishads are a part of that. Upanishads are a part of that. So the difficulty for most of the people in this world is that these statements in the Vedas and the Upanishads is a little difficult to grasp. And the instructions are so subtle, and at the same time they are much more written in a language of the sages that ordinary people, especially the conditioned souls, will find it very hard to understand the purport of all the Upanishads and purport of all the Vedas also. So in order to help the people in this age of Kali, Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote down the Puranas. All the Puranas were compiled by Vedavyasa. And after compiling all the Puranas, Vedavyasa Maharshi eventually spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, which was made the 18th Puranam. And then there is also another 18 Upapuranas. That means something like a corollary to the major Puranas. So he has compiled all these literature so that somehow or the other, the same message in the Upanishads and the Vedas trickle through to our mind, the common man's mind. Stri Shudra Adhibhir Apyudaha Bhagavadam, that is how it is mentioned, that people in the age of Kali will be incapable of understanding the great messages in the Vedic literature. They won't have the capacity to take it. So therefore, in order to make it easier for them, Vedavyasa Maharshi created or compiled these Puranas, and through the Puranas he wanted to tell us the same message in a way that can be understood by the ordinary human society of this age in Kali. So that is how Puranas came into existence. So there you will find there that this statement that the when the sages asked this question to Suda Goswami, Suda Goswami's answer was exactly like in the Bhagavad Gita, the verses you will find. Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayal. How powerful these verses are. Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayal. Even the greatest fear, Suda Goswami says to the sages, even a little bit endeavor in this direction of Krishna consciousness will ultimately take the person away from the greatest danger, greatest fear. Sulpam apyasya dharmasya. Dharma means Bhagavata dharma. Bhagavata dharma means Krishna consciousness. So a little endeavor in that direction will take that person. Trayade mahado bhayal. It is Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. Sulpam apyasya dharmasya. Trayade mahado bhayal. That you will overcome the fear. This thing called fear, how did it come to us? It came to us due to ajnanam. Ajnanam means ignorance. This ignorance, what we speak in English, it's little different than the ajnanam word in Sanskrit. The ajnanam actually means one who has wrongly identified with the body. In other words, one who has lost his correct understanding of himself. That is what is called ajnanam in the Shastram. Shastram ajnanam means one who has lost his identity as spirit soul and got into this false identification with the material body. That is called ajnanam. In English language, ignorance doesn't mean like that. Ignorance means something different than that. So there is no specific word to communicate this ignorance. So therefore we call it as ignorance, ajnanam. So that's why we say ajnanatimirandhasya. We begin with that, isn't it? So that ajnanam is this, that we have no knowledge. We have somehow or the other fallen into this trap to identify ourselves with the body, mind, senses, intelligence and so on and so forth, which we are not. Actually, we are spirit soul. But why we are not feeling like that? We are always feeling, I am this body, I am born from here, this particular place, I have taken birth. This, that and the other. So many false identification. So, sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayal. So that's what we are talking about. And then Suda Goswami said to the sages there, how Srimad Bhagavatam came into existence, which I have briefly spoken about last Sunday. That is, Vedavyas decided to Vedavyas has written so much. He has prepared so much for the generations to come. And his compilation included all the Puranas and the and Mahabharata, particularly 125,000 verses. And in addition to that, he has also compiled the Brahma Sutram, which is known as Vedanta Sutram. This Brahma Sutram is a key textbook for the jnanis particularly. We'll talk a little bit about that, because it is good to know many of these literature in the Vedic tradition. We understand that how powerful this message of the soul is. Normally, all our education in the modern world is based on the understanding that we are this body, isn't it? Everything is centered around that. The medical science is centered around that. And there is so much ignorance also, because material knowledge in Shastram is called Jadavidya. Science is called Jadavidya. Why is it called Jadavidya? Jadavidya because Jadam. Jadam means it is dead thing, dead matter. Studying matter is not a very intelligent thing, because so many things, if you come to the spiritual platform and start analyzing from the spiritual point of view, you can see how insignificant it is and how meaningless it is to waste so much time and energy in studying matter in this world. Because ultimately, the driver or the driving force behind everything is spirit, is the soul, Krishna's part and parcel, as we are all and every living entity in this world. Even the dead matter, what we perceive in this world, is actually spirit. But because under the influence of tamogunam, and due to that condition, state of existence, they are perceived as matter. But when you can see in the Puranas, there is also in the Ramayanam, there is the example, the Ahalya has to accept the body of a stone. She was in the form of a stone. In other words, there was spirit in that, but in a very, very hidden form it was perceived at that time. As soon as Sri Ramachandra's lotus feet touched the stone, she got back her original form as spirit. So you can see how from spirit matter has developed. And we give so much importance to this thing called matter, and waste all our energy in this world trying to understand the laws of material nature and the matter. But the things, everything is driven by the spirit soul. So all the Vedic literature is based on this viewpoint, that spirit is important, matter has no significance. There is a knowledge of matter also related to compiling of the five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. Beyond than that, there is not a lot of importance given to the material nature or the material elements. Because of this, that the spiritual nature of the living entity is everlasting and it is eternal, and the true nature of the soul is blissful and to be full of knowledge. So when all these things are taken away, knowledge, bliss and eternity, then it becomes to dead matter, and we all become in the same state of mind. So that is where this begins. And that is why the sages, when they have spoken each other, they were not under the illusion like us, that they were thinking, am I spirit, soul, am I not this body or not? This question didn't come from Sudha Goswami from any of the sages who were present there. They were already gone beyond all that kind of doubts about what we are. They were very clear in their head what they were. But the question was for them, that how to get out of this entanglement for the people in the age of Kali. So actually Brahma Sutra was written with this perspective, to understand for people that on an intellectual level, if we want to understand that, these sutras were written. There's about 555 sutras in the Brahma Sutra, or Vedanta Sutra it is called. Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled that, taking the same very knowledge from the Upanishads. And it has become one of the topmost Vedic literature, as well as the Acharyas who have come in different traditions, they have taken Vedanta Sutram and commented on that. Shankaracharya commented on that in the recent times, but even prior to that, there was commentary on the Brahma Sutram. On the Vedanta Sutram, even prior to him, that Acharya Swamiji also, there was commentaries on that. Subsequently you find, after Shankaracharya also, Ramanujacharya has commented, Madhvacharya has commented, and there is commentaries from Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, and in the earlier Vaishnava tradition, Baladeva Vidyabhushan has also commented on the Vedanta Sutram. So from there you can see how critical all these literatures are for those who wants to get more closer to the spiritual reality or the science of spiritual life. So prior to Shankaracharya, this commentary on the Brahma Sutram was written by a great sage called Vachaspati. This Vachaspati's father, he was also a great personality, and he was absorbed in penances and austerities throughout life. But the very far end of his life, he trained up his son also in the same way. In the same way he trained up his son also in austerities and penances and cultivating spiritual knowledge, like all the great sages did those days. So when, like the sages developed the spiritual knowledge, and it so happened that at the very end, Vachaspati asked, his father asked him that you should get married now. That by now he was very old. And the son accepted that instruction from the father. Vachaspati accepted that instruction from his father to get married. But what happened was, Vachaspati has by now begun writing his commentary on this Brahma Sutra. He was writing his commentary on Brahma Sutra. So he started writing, and it is in the little bit he has progressed when his father asked him to get married. So this book, Brahma Sutram, because of his serious absorption in the writing this commentary on that, he got married as he was instructed by his father, and her name, the wife's name was Bhamati. Bhamati was her name. But it says there that after getting married to Bhamati, Vachaspati didn't have any time to talk to her. He had no time to talk to her. And how long did it take for him to complete the commentary? It took 12 years for him to complete the commentary on Bhamati. On this Brahma Sutra. It took 12 years for him to complete the commentary on Brahma Sutra. So it so happened that people in those days, they were very intense in their commitment to spiritual life. They were not like us, who will find a Sunday afternoon to spend some time in spiritual life. They were so absorbed in spiritual life that for them, this family, material life, all these things were not so significant. That is the type of life they led. We are caught up in everything and anything in this world, and we don't know how to escape from that. And in that process, we are just cursing ourselves every minute, and then not knowing what to do, we carry on, get on with it. And neither we have the strength of mind like they had. Their way of life and their way of thinking was such, and this must have happened probably about 2.5 thousand years back. So anyway, Vachaspati wrote this, continue compiling this commentary on Brahma Sutra. These books like Brahma Sutra and all, if one is intelligent and one gets the absorption in that, he will get affected by that, in the sense that every single sutra in that book will invigorate that person's mind and intelligence to such an extent that he would not be able to give it away and say that, oh, now I'm got married, I leave this book for the moment and take it back later when I have finished all my householder life. No such thing. He completely continued that process, and in that process it is said that he has forgotten to speak to his wife Bhamati for all these 20 years. This is how he was all these 12 years or so when he was absorbed in writing this commentary. Such was their commitment. These were the type of people they were. And Bhamati, his wife, on the other hand, seeing her husband's commitment to spiritual life and the intense absorption in the Brahma Sutra, she decided to completely support him in everything and just followed him like a shadow without saying one word to him and disturbing his mind at any time. This was how she was. So you can see the type of people they were. They were not interested in, like in the modern times, we want, and you know that they have not taken any trouble to mention about any of these things in their books either. This is how their mind worked, or their intelligence was absorbed in spiritual life. Such was their elevated consciousness that they were not interested in the petty recognition in this world or the petty praise and glories of this world, like in the modern world it is. Everyone wants to convince others that he is a great soul. But that was not the nature of these personalities. They thought and analyzed, and their intelligence was They used to think about the life in this world as a transitory affair of a 50-60 years life, and they had such a strong conviction of their spiritual identity that under no circumstances they will stoop down to the levels of the individuals of this world today, how we act. You couldn't even imagine that. They never took any kind of... Today when you write a book, you have to first get it ISBN number on that, and a royalty on that, and then the contract with the publisher. Nobody can copy from that. This is our pettiness of this modern world. Unfortunately, it is like that. Vedavyasa Maharshi, Vachaspati, and all the great acharyas, they didn't think like that. They didn't want any of your royalty themselves. They were free from all this kind of petty desires. Rather, their mind was absorbed how to give Krishna to the human society. How to bring Krishna and people closer to Krishna. This was working there. That is the kind of consciousness they had. And because they were like that, the literature that has come from them is also like that. That was their greatness. So Vachaspati, and supported by Bhamadi, they managed to write this commentary in such a long period of time. And that commentary became the one of the most popular commentaries at that time. And at the end of the 12 years or so, I think it took to write that commentary, when everything was completed, when the commentary was over, only then Vachaspati realized that he was married. And he had to, you will see this kind of situation. Today you can't afford to do this, because if you go this route, very next day you can go to the to the lawyers, solicitors, to sort this out. But that was the life they led. They had no inclination towards sinful activities, and they had, marriage was purely a solemn affair to continue in executing dharmam. Dharmam was the principle on which life existed. So what happened was, it seems that after the commentary was completed, when he was reading the commentary, Bhamadi was lighting a lamp. And when she was lighting the lamp, only then Vachaspati looked at her and realized that he has not spoken to her for a long, long time. Because the thoughts of this Brahma Sutra was getting through his mind 24 hours. He had no time to think about anything else, and Bhamadi was completely recognized her husband's situation and continued to support her. And then what did he say to Bhamadi at that time? Told Bhamadi, Bhamadi, I have taken one vow when I started this commentary. What was that? As soon as this commentary is finished, I will take sannyas. And what do you think about that? That was the type of people they were. Vachaspati says to Bhamadi, this is the decision I have made, and this was an agreement I have given to my father, that as soon as I complete this commentary, I will take to sannyas ashram. When Vachaspati said this, Bhamadi didn't say one word. Bhamadi looked at Vachaspati, and Vachaspati had promised to Bhamadi, I have nothing to offer you at this time in life, but in order that your name will be remembered forever, this commentary of Brahma Sutram, I'll call it as Bhamadi. So that is how that commentary has come up as Bhamadi. And that is the only commentary that is virtually available from the olden times, before Shankaracharya wrote his commentary. So prior to that, this is the only commentary what's available. So what I'm saying to say is that these were the kind of people, they were involved in studying this great literature of Brahma Sutra. It's not something which is easily can be understood by ordinary people. It is meant for the higher intellectuals who are very, very advanced in learning and capable in their analysis of the nature of the soul, the material nature, the loss of karma, and so many things which we find which are very subtle, and the same thing in a different way is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita also, because the same knowledge from the Upanishads what's been taken by Vedavyas. So svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayade mahato bhayal, that is what it was spoken like that. So here he wanted to give all this to Sukadeva Goswami, because its father has created all these things, isn't it? So he wanted to hand over all these things to Sukadeva Goswami. So Sukadeva Goswami, he presented everything to Sukadeva Goswami and told Sukadeva Goswami, and that, my dear son, I have written all these things, and as my son, you are entitled for all of this literature, he says to Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami said like this, Nedi, 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 not this, not this, not this, not this. He started rejecting everything. Every book he has, including Brahmasutram, he has rejected. He picked Srimad Bhagavatam from there. He just picked Srimad Bhagavatam from there and went after Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what has happened with Vedavyas, with Sudeva Goswami. Actually, the whole modern, the whole knowledge in the Vedanta philosophy or Vedantam or the Uttara Mimamsa, it is called, is coming from Vedavyas. Vedavyas is Krishna's literary incarnation. He took birth in the beginning of Dwapara Yugam. You have to remember that. A very, very long period of life he had. So, Vedavyas compiled all this literature and Sri Sudeva Goswami picked Srimad Bhagavatam from there. Srimad Bhagavatam from there. So, after this, what is normally spoken in the world is Vyaso Chishtam Jagal Sarvam. You know, whatever food what Vedavyas has taken, the remnants he has thrown out. And it is these remnants what all these great acharyas are discussing. So can you imagine Vedavyas' position, what it is like? Vyaso chishtam jagat sarvam. There is no knowledge what is not known to Vedavyas. Vedavyas knew everything, that he was such a great personality. Vyaso chishtam jagat sarvam. Everything in this creation, what you find, whole thing is, whatever knowledge is there, it has come from, Vedavyas knew about it. And it is only his remnants that is being discussed by the acharyas. In other words, that was how great he was, that even his remnants were worthwhile for discussion for all these great personalities, whether they were great devotees or great sages or greatly, highly realized persons, yogis, whoever they may be, everyone took the knowledge from Vedavyas. So Vedavyas' position is very unique in the Vedic tradition. So it is him who has fallen into this crisis. I was talking about that crisis before, that when Sudeva Goswami was asked by the sages, Sudeva Goswami told them that what is the ultimate, how do we get out of this fear? How do we get out of this fear, isn't it? That was the question. This fear is the whole problem. Nobody can say that they are free from this fear. The fear will go at another time in life, and that is explained in the Bhagavatam, how that fear goes. So here what happened was Sudeva Goswami answered this, saying that it was Srimad Bhagavatam that Sudeva Goswami has taken from all the literature what Vedavyas has compiled. So when the sages heard that, they asked Sudeva Goswami, then tell us that what is that special about Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam? And these questions have come up from the Atma Prasadam. It says Atma Prasadam. Atma Prasadam means, how does the soul, how does the individual get satisfaction in one's life from everything? That today we have different kinds of understanding about happiness, isn't it? About happiness also we have different kinds of understanding. So all these things are discussed in the Puranas and particularly Srimad Bhagavatam, and you will notice there, this is called as Samvadam. Samvadam means, there are discussions normally in Sanskrit is classified into four groups. What are they? One is called Vadam. Vadam means, just like in the court, two lawyers, they argue each other, isn't it, to win the case. That is called Vadam. So, somehow the other, the goal is to beat the other one and come out successfully with what he wants, isn't it? So that's called argument, vadam. I don't know the equivalent words in English for all the words. So I will just mention the words, but I'll try to explain what it actually means. So that is vadam. Vadam means like in the court, the two lawyers fight each other. And then one will win eventually, whoever the judge decides, based on how they have argued or whatever the proofs they have, whatever it is. So that's on an equal level. Samvada means one is on a higher level and one is on a lower level. So the person on the higher level and the person on the lower level, they converse each other. And the person in knowledge, he answers the questions from the person on a lower level. Now for example here, you will find Suta Shaunaka Samvadam. That is how it's called. Shaunaka Rishi is asking questions. Suta Goswami, who is on a higher platform with higher knowledge, is answering the questions. Shuka Parikshit Samvadam. Parikshit Maharaj is asking questions. Sudeva Goswami is answering those questions. So therefore it's called Shuka Parikshit Samvadam. Vidura Uddhava Samvadam. Uddhava Vidura Samvadam. There also it's the same way. Questions are asked, Vidura is asking, Uddhava is answering. This you'll find in the third canto. And now, here, Suta Shaunaka Samvadam is going on. And that is where we are, Suta Shaunaka Samvadam. So there the rule is that one person has to have a higher knowledge than the other. This person accepts his authority and inquires from him in an understanding like that. In the modern world, we only do vadam. Everything else is unknown to us. We argue and argue, fight through and get through our way. There is a third thing called jalpanam. Jalpanam means, which is a little different. That's where jalpanam, and there is a fourth one also called vidarkam. Vidarkam is something like parliaments, House of Commons, Lok Sabha and Senates and all. The intention is ultimately to beat the other person somehow. You know how that goes on. So, so in different ways, these kinds of discussions happen. And our consideration here is we are concerned about samvadam between the Suta Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi. Suta Shaunaka Samvadam is what is discussed. So Shaunaka Rishi inquired from Suta Goswami that what is that I have to do, we have to do, so that in the age of Kali, people will find a relief from this miserable Kali Yuga, which is coming very closely, and how will they escape from that? And how can they be satisfied and peaceful in their life? This question was put forward. In answer to that, Suta Goswami told him that Srimad Bhagavatam has answered that question, and he is also given the example there that the what should one acquire for one's life to satisfy in this way? That in the beginning of Bhagavatam you will find this discussed also. Savaipum samparo dharmam yatho bhakti ratho akshaje ahaituki apratihada yenalma samprasidati. That there, this is a very important topic in the for all of us to understand, because in this particular topic, there is, in this particular verse especially, paradharmam and swadharmam is discussed. What is swadharmam? What is paradharmam? And if we do not understand, we will not understand Bhagavadam. If these two things, if we don't understand, we will not understand Bhagavadam. This Bhagavadam has been compiled by Vedavyas under certain conditions. Condition under certain circumstances. This was compiled, isn't it? As you know, that Sukadeva Goswami walked away with Bhagavadam, but prior to that, what has happened with Vedavyas, we have to know. What happened with Vedavyas? In the second chapter, you will notice in the first canto, why I'm going a little bit detail into all these things is, that you must know that Srimad Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita are very closely connected. What, some people have this understanding, Bhagavad Gita is one book, Bhagavadam is another book. I'm not interested in the Bhagavadam, they say, because it's all stories. I will just go by the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, they'll say. Some people are like that. They only want to study Bhagavad Gita. They don't want to know anything about Bhagavadam. And then you find some other people who don't want to study Bhagavad Gita. They just like to hear Srimad Bhagavadam. So what do you do with them when situations happen like this? This both comes from a proper lack of understanding of the relationship with Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam. What is Srimad Bhagavadam? The science of self-realization discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedavyasa Maharshi took it and presented it to us in a way that we can understand by using personalities who lived according to that philosophy. So if you simply study Bhagavad Gita alone, what can happen is, your knowledge will never become firmly rooted in your mind. In order to understand Bhagavad Gita in depth and understand that how that has gone into different great souls in this world and how they have utilized the same knowledge in their own life, precisely in their personal life, and how that has elevated them spiritually, and they have all benefited from that knowledge. That is what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can see how closely they are related to each other. One cannot reject Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Both are absolutely necessary in advancing in the path of spiritual life. They go side by side, helpful to each other, supports each other, complements each other. So here what happened was that Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, and in the Bhagavatam many instances he is actually referring to those verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So it will be worthwhile to study that part as and when it is applying to those important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Because these two verses are so important, it's necessary to analyze them in the light of Srimad Bhagavatam, so that we get a deeper penetration into that. So, Savaipum Samparyo Dharmam Yadho Bhakti Radho Kshaje Ahaituki Apratihada Yena Alpa Samprasidadi. How will the Alma Samprasidadi, how will the living entity will become pleased, free from fear and free from anxiety? This was the question. So in answer to that, they discussed this, that the fear that was going through Vedavyas mind, and later on you will find two personalities discussing, that is, it is called Vyasa Narada Samvadam. There it is called like that. Here we call it as Sudha Shavanaka Samvadam, and there it is called as Vyasa Narada Samvadam. Why? Because there Sri Narada Maharshi is giving the, is on a higher plane, higher position, and Vedavyasa is on a lower position. So Vedavyasa is inquiring from Sri Narada Maharshi, and Sri Narada Maharshi is answering questions and clearing all the doubts. So there it is Vyasa Narada Samvadam, which will come later on. Prior to that, we have to go a little bit more to talk about what happened. So, Sudeva Goswami took Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam was accepted by Sudeva Goswami completely, and which turned his life also. He realized from Srimad Bhagavatam that this dharmam what is discussed in the Bhagavatam is a little different than the dharmam what we follow in this world. This was Sudeva Goswami's clear understanding from the Bhagavatam. So, when we will find there that this question was raised, and in answer to that, the Krishna Sudeva Goswami said to Shaunak Rishi that the only thing that will protect them from this in this fear is Krishna consciousness. That is what the answer that was given. That everyone in this world eventually has only one choice: to accept Krishna's authority and surrender to Krishna. If he does not do that, he has to accept another body, life after life, and continue with that. For example, who surrenders to Krishna? Everyone has to surrender to Krishna, because Bhagavad Gita says, Vasudeva Sarvamidi Samaha Alpaha Sudurlabha. Such a soul is very, very rare who surrenders to Krishna completely. So what happened was that the jnanis also read Bhagavad Gita in one way. Devotees read Bhagavad Gita in a different way. Bhagavad Gita is studied by people from different angles. That is also there from time immemorial. Some people, they study Bhagavad Gita from the historic point of view. They think, oh, this Mahabharata war happened 5,000 years ago, so it's a historical presentation of the incidents what happened in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. They approach Bhagavad Gita in that way. Some other people, how do they approach Bhagavad Gita? They approach Bhagavad Gita from the point of view of a literature or the shastram, that they will try to analyze every single word in the Bhagavad Gita. For example, if they say that Dhritarashtra, the word, they will break the word into pieces and they will start discussing that. And they have their own method of studying Bhagavad Gita in that way. That is another way. A third way is devotees, how do they study Bhagavad Gita? They see Krishna in Bhagavad Gita throughout. And for them, Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. It's not different from Krishna. So naturally, their approach to Bhagavad Gita will be full of reverence and full of devotion. And they see through Bhagavad Gita everywhere Krishna's words, and without any questioning, accept Krishna's instruction and surrenders to Krishna. This is the devotee's approach to Bhagavad Gita. Devotee sees Bhagavad Gita like that. He can't see it any other way. For him, everything in Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's Krishna's absolute words, and he finds great pleasure in accepting that knowledge and surrendering according to that without questioning anything about that. Now the jnanis, the fourth group, how do they take Bhagavad Gita? They study Bhagavad Gita in a different way. They see in Bhagavad Gita, they try to relate Bhagavad Gita to themselves, what the principles, what they have learned from Bhagavad Gita in their spiritual life. Or in other words, when they want to realize the absolute truth through their process of spiritual realization, how the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, what Vedavyasa has compiled, put in the Mahabharata, that how the knowledge would help them. This is their way of looking at the Bhagavad Gita. So, four different people's approach to Bhagavad Gita in four different ways. We are concerned about Krishna consciousness, which is surrender to Krishna, the devotion to Krishna. That's our interest in the Bhagavad Gita is. But Bhagavad Gita has got everything else also there. And impersonalists also take to Bhagavad Gita because they are the ones who follow this Jnana Margam. You will see that, the process of knowledge. Prabhupada has commented about that at different times throughout his commentary, and as it is. But for devotees, that is not so important. We don't follow that route because their analysis is completely different. We see Bhagavad Gita from a devotee's point of view, how devotee sees Krishna's instructions, how we surrender to Krishna. That is our goal at the end. So, here you will notice that the Sudeva Goswami has spoken about this to Parikshit also, that the ultimate goal is to surrender to Krishna. And if you surrender to Krishna, all these problems will be resolved, will be solved. And otherwise, it is not going to be solved. It will stay forever. All the problems will stay forever. So to prove that, pastimes of Krishna were spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Pastimes of Krishna were spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why in the second chapter you will notice also that Krishna has taken many, many incarnations. Many, many incarnations he has taken. And why did he take so many incarnations? The purpose of taking so many incarnations was to attract the people towards him. Krishna realized that the conditioned soul has no opportunity otherwise to understand him. This is our position. Krishna's position is so high. In the spiritual world, he is the Supreme Personality. And we, the limited conditioned soul in this world, have very limited capacity. What we have got with our tiny brain, intelligence and mind, we cannot comprehend who Krishna is, Krishna's position either. So we are in a great difficulty or a great difficult situation, that unless Krishna shows some mercy and comes to us and gives us some opportunity to understand him, we will not be able to understand him. And this is why Krishna has taken so many incarnations. So many incarnations. So that those who have some desire to understand the truth will study these incarnations. And by studying these incarnations, he will understand the nature of the Absolute Truth, Krishna, and develop that understanding to go back to him. This is why different Janmadho Karma Nama Sputamiha Gunadosha Diyamva Nayasmin Loganam Udaya Yasayam Anubhajadetani Maya Anusari. That in order to do that, Krishna has to come here and also go along with the rules of Maya. Although Krishna is not bound by the rules of Maya, but when he takes these different incarnations and perform his pastimes here, he has to do so many things here as though he is also following the rules of Maya, which you will find in the Ramayana, Mahabharata, everywhere. Sometimes you may wonder why Krishna has to go through all these different activities and pastimes in order to relieve the world from the burden. So, but it says here, Tani Maya Anusari, he has to follow the rules of Maya at this time when he is here. Because when he comes here, he has to act in the way that his total identity is not revealed, that he has come from Golokam, and because of the conditioned nature of the soul, he will not be able to understand that purity hasn't reached there. He has to be purified. The living entity needs to be purified. So in order to do that, these different pastimes are performed here by Krishna and in the other Malsyam, Kurmam, Varaham, Nasimham and different incarnations. So that is how these different incarnations have happened. And those incarnations are attraction only to the devotees, not for anyone else. Who is attracted? Jnanis are not attracted to the incarnations, is there? nor the yogis, that their process is different. They have a different process. They are not attracted to the different incarnations of Krishna. So Krishna's mercy is towards the devotees. It's for devotees. Krishna has come with all these different incarnations so that he can study, remember them, sing the glories and absorb his mind in Krishna. So somehow or the other, if the mind gets absorbed in Krishna, eventually at the time of death, yam yam va vismaran bhavam tejatyande kale bharam tam tam evaidi kaunneya sada tad bhava bhavidaha, that he can remember Krishna and go back home, back to Krishna. So our benefit, he says, what? Why Krishna has done all these things for me? He says, he hasn't done anything for me. He says, I've been asking him so many things in my life, he hasn't given me anything. And now you are telling me he has done all these things for me. It's not convincing to me. That will be his answer. Why? Because he has not understood. His approach to Krishna is only from the one viewpoint that he has come with a completely different understanding. He thinks that Krishna is there that so that I can get through my life somehow in this temporary 50-60 years of this life. So that's why he is coming from. So you can't blame him because he has not understood why these incarnations have come. So with these incarnations, what did Krishna want us to do? Krishna wanted us to hear them. Hear them continuously in such a way that everyone gets the benefit of that. By benefit means that one gets attracted to Krishna. So therefore, these pastimes were performed with this goal in mind, that devotees, one, when gets attracted to Krishna, he will develop attachment for Krishna. So Krishna wanted that all of us love him to the extent that our mind gets absorbed in him. This is what he wants from us. He wants to reciprocate that love from the living entity. And living entity has no time, unfortunately. Living entity is very, very busy with his life. So he is thinking that, well, it's all good that he wants us to love him and this, that and the other. But where is the time for all that? I am busy now with very many commitments in this life. I've got so many commitments, he will say like this. So if we speak all these things very openly, it may look a little bit insulting and offensive also. But at the same time, we have to speak that because our attachment is like that to this world. That when we bring this out openly and start speaking about it, then we think how stupid we are in this world. That stupidity, what we are, or the lack of intelligence in us, has been going for many, many, many lifetimes through us. And it is so deeply embedded in us, or so deep-rooted, that one will never come out of it if we continue the way we are conducting ourselves. So that is why it is spoken like this. That in the Bhagavadam, in two words, Sukadeva Goswami put the whole thing through. That's why how beautiful it is. What did he say? He says there in the Bhagavadam you will find, if you look there that, I think it is in the fifth chapter or so, that, no, it's not in the fifth chapter, it's in the, where he talks about in the third chapter, where he talked about these different incarnations. Sudha Goswami started listing all the incarnations. 24 incarnations are mentioned here. Out of the 24 incarnations, there are many more, but major 24 mentioned there. And he also said there, Egonavam Shovim Shedi. 19th and 20th are important, he said. 19th and 20th are important. Who is 19th? 19th is Balaram. And 20th is Krishna himself. So, 19th and 20th are important, he said. Egoana vimsho vimshedi vimshadi me vrishnishu prapya janmani Ramakrishna idi vibho bhagavan haralbharam. That Supreme Personality, Krishna himself, has come haralbharam, that in order to relieve the earth from its burden. Why? What is this burden of the earth? If you look at that, you will understand why it is a burden. Actually, it is people like us who are a burden for this earth. Why? Why is it a burden? Not the physical kilogram weight or whatever. That is not the burden. The burden is this, that we came here and then we start carrying this heavy weight on our back, ourselves, of this life. From day one starts cursing everyone and anyone in this world. how miserable everything is, can't do anything, everyone is a problem, everyone is giving us so much trouble. And like this the curse begins, as soon as he grew up, and then that's how it develops. Later on, carrying this heavy weight on the back, he thinks that maybe if I get a partner, we can carry this together. So he goes and gets a partner, or the wife or husband, whoever it is called, and comes together and carries the... Now, there was only one weight before, now it has become two, the two weights at his back. He's carrying that now. So when the second weight has come, the what is it called, the backbone started bending a little bit because of the weight that the family life has put on him. And then time goes through, the parents get older, the father and mother tells him, you have to carry us as well now. So he accepts that burden also on his shoulder. So father, mother, and then the wife. Three weights now. Originally there was only one weight, now there is three weights. And in a short time, the children have come. So another two or three or four, however number it is, another few more weights. So the whole life he carries this weight, and continuously mourning that what can I do? I have this weight on my back, I have this, I have that, and mourning this all the time, the weight behind his head. What he is not able to think is, this whole life he is carrying this weight, and eventually one day, death comes and the whole weight and the body drops and he goes away from there and he goes from here. But if you ask him, what have you been doing? He says to me, I was carrying this weight. So what did you do in the last life? Last life also I was carrying another weight. There was another weight on my back. There was another wife, another father, another mother, another set of children. I was carrying that weight also. So this was the only business he has been doing from beginning to end, except carrying this weight, he hasn't done anything else in life. And he is thinking that this is the pinnacle of happiness in life, this carrying this weight like this, from beginning to end. So carries this weight all along. And in the life before that, he says, well, as far as I know, I was doing exactly the same thing. He says, carrying the same weight in another form, but another people also. Father, mother, sister, brother, this, that and the other, all those weights also I was carrying in the same way. So he was carrying weight in the life before that, the one before that, the one before that, like this. So eventually, if you keep on looking at it, sometimes he was not in the human body also. He was in the few lifetimes before he came to this human form. There also he was carrying weight, instead of being in the monkey's form. You also had a father and mother at that time, also had a wife and children at that time, and all this weight he was carrying like this. Maybe life before that in the form of a bison, or in the form of a tiger or a lion, whatever it is, this weight carrying business has never come to an end. And what do we do now? We are creating for another few more lifetimes so we can carry the same weight again. Is it not? So this is what material life means, this carrying weight business. Nothing else. And that is why we become a burden here. We become a burden because this earthly planet and the life in this earthly planet is meant for spiritual realization and go back home, back to spiritual world. Instead of using that, instead of utilizing the time and the body given to us for that, we get caught up in all these things and thinking that this is my business here. We make it very, very serious affair. And then eventually nothing happens, no profit at the end. It's a loss of life. Ultimately, whole time is lost in that process. Isn't it? Whether it's a man or a woman, it's the same story. It's no different. Anybody, it doesn't matter. It's the same story. So, it is this weight-carrying business that's causing the problem. So, first thing is to get out of that conception. Bhagavatam is saying like that, that the business of this, that this thinking that my duty is not only this carrying weight. Krishna is telling us, this life has been given to you so that you could develop some attachment for me or Krishna consciousness. That is what is expected from this. But if you ask the person who is carrying this weight, he thinks that in order to carry the weight, what else is there? He has to be attached to all these people, isn't it? There has to have some attachment, otherwise you can't carry the weight. You are carrying it free of cost, so naturally you have to have some feeling for it, otherwise you can't do it. So naturally the attachment is there. That is why you are able to do that. So this attachment or love, every living entity has a propensity to love others. But unfortunately what happens is, all that love, loving propensity what we have, is what we have distributed. We have given something to the wife, something to father, something to mother, something to brothers and sisters, something to other relatives, something to children, this and everything. Eventually Krishna asked, where is my share? He says, you say you are loving everybody, but where is my share in this? You have distributed, we have left out nothing for you now. This is the answer what we have got for Krishna. And then in the end, at the age of 85 or 90, with the stick in the hand, walking, coming to the temple, Krishna, I want to love you now. At the age of 90, when you are ready to step into the grave, unfortunately, it will be very difficult at that time to love Krishna. It is difficult to love Krishna at that point in time. Krishna is kind. He has given us energy. He has given us intelligence. He has given us the shastras. He has given us the acharyas. He has given us great devotees. He has given us everything. And in spite of that, if we do not take it seriously, whom should we blame? Whom should we blame? We have to blame ourselves. So that is the kind of thing what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavadam. And that is that love, loving propensity. If a living entity does not learn to love Krishna, if he does not surrender and develop that attachment for Krishna, before the time is over, he has to come back here again. Otherwise, if Krishna says that, yam yam va vismaran bhavam, if you want to remember Krishna at the time of death, you have to get attached to Krishna here, right now, at this point in time. Yam yam va vismaran bhavam, that if your bhavam is able to remember Krishna, and if you give up your body, tejatyande kale baram, and if you give up your body in that consciousness, then you can come to me. Krishna says, that is the proof that one has developed attachment for Krishna. My words has no meaning. You can't cheat Krishna by saying to Krishna, I love you Krishna so much that you please take me back. It doesn't work like that. So that love has to have that sincere and honest effort from one side to develop that attachment for Krishna. So that is what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So while discussing, the topics are very, very grave, and only when you analyze it and start thinking, looking into it deeply, you realize that what an amount of responsibility that Srimad Bhagavatam is giving to a person who wants to follow the process of Krishna consciousness. So there what you find is, Savaipum sam paro dharmam yatho bhakti ratho kshaje ahaituki apradihada yena alpa samprasidadi. That is how Sudha said to Shanaka, that my dear Shanaka Rishi, Savaipum sam paro dharmam, that if you develop that kind of love towards Krishna, what will happen is, ahaituki. What does loving Krishna means? Really, that's a question we have to ask. Is loving Krishna means that I just chant my 16 rounds every day? Is loving Krishna means I just offer my prasadam to Krishna every day? Is loving Krishna means I just read Srimad Bhagavatam a few chapters every day? Is loving Krishna means that I distribute a few books every day? Is loving Krishna means I make a few patron members or life members every day? He said all these questions will come to us. What does loving Krishna means? Loving Krishna in ultimately, Swatvasmin parama prema rupa, that a mind which has been trained to think in such a way that he cannot live in this world without being attached to Krishna, that is loving Krishna means. That without Krishna one cannot live in this world. That is the perfection of that love. That love is developed in due course. Gradually it develops in a person's heart. But if you look into the Shastakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there that Shunya idam jagal sarvam Govinda virahe name. Without Govinda, without Krishna, this whole life in this world is empty. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's definition of that love. Nayanam galada shodharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya giraha pulager nichidam kadavabu tavam namagrahane bhavishyadi. If you look into the Shastakam, Nayanam galada shudharaya, that when the eyes are filled with tears for feeling separation from Krishna, Nayanam galada shurahaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya agira. That when his face, the throat is choked with the emotions of missing Krishna's association. Pulage nijidam kadavabhu. That the whole body is experiencing that ecstasy of chanting the holy name of Krishna. Tavanama grahane bhavishyati. That when will that happen to me? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says like this in the Shikshashtakam. So these are the symptoms of love for Krishna. Our love for Krishna is very conditional. Because of our material difficulties, we come to Krishna. And we ask Krishna's help to cross over the temporary material problems of this world. And that is not love. That is simply a business with Krishna. That doesn't help. That is not going to help. But it may begin with that, but sooner or later, one has to move on from there to proper Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will cause disaster in life. Your lifetime is as much a wasted life. So here, coming back to this Srimad Bhagavatam, that is what was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, that in this verse, Paramo Dharma Medho Bhakti Radokshaje Ahaidugi, that one word is indicating all these things. Ahaidugi, without any hedu, without any reason, one has to love Krishna. Without any attached conditions, attached strings attached to your love, that is love for Krishna. Otherwise, it's not love. Ahaituki apratihada. Apratihada means, or avyavahida, it also says like that. Which means that this love is not started something and able to stop one day. It doesn't stop at all. It doesn't stop. It continues forever. If you ask a devotee, proper devotee, why do you love Krishna? His answer will be, I don't know. I don't know why, but I have to do it. I can't live without that. This will be the proper answer from a devotee. Not only that, ahaiduki apradihada, that is it going to stop at particular time, that when you are released from this loving business, loving Krishna? No. It never ends. Forever. Forever that has to go on. That is proper love for Krishna. And that is what Krishna expects all of us to have. Eventually, that is what is expected from us. That it is that loving relationship that Krishna reciprocate. Now you know why Krishna is not reciprocating for the kind of love we are exhibiting. The reason is this, that our love is so much affected by the conditions what we have, it is not pure. It is not pure love for Krishna. It is based on the business, what we want to do with Krishna. And therefore, our life continues like this. Ahaituki apradihada. When that kind of love is developed inside, then the result will be yena alma samprasidati. Then there is no more material anxiety after that. There is no more material anxiety. Why? Because he knows, the devotee knows, that why should I harry all these useless anxieties in my mind? Moment I know that there is someone behind me to support me under all circumstances, that is Krishna. Krishna is behind me to help the devotee. And the devotee gets that complete conviction, not only from the Bhagavatam or from the Bhagavad Gita, although Krishna has given this word in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, not from books alone. Suppose it happens in one's own life, one experiences this. Then he does not require any more proof after that, does he? He doesn't require any more proof after that. He is convinced that under all circumstances, I don't need to carry any of this fear, what I am carrying today. I have fear from my health, fear from my protection of wealth, fear from the family, fear from the friends, fear from the enemies, fear at the job, fear at the fear from the government, fear from the so many different corners. So many different kinds of fear one is experiencing. But that fear will go when one comes to this proper situation. Yena alpa samprasidati. He is properly situated in that pure love for Krishna. When that develops, he is released from that kind of fear. This is how Srimad Bhagavatam says about that. So this was expressed in a very short verse by Sutta to Shaunak Rishi, Sutta Goswami to Shaunak Rishi. And later on, we go back to Bhagavatam, that how this whole topic was discussed by two great devotees together under very, very special circumstances, and how they have explained it for our benefit so that we understand it properly, what this all means. So it is those two devotees' conversation that is what comes into the next chapter in the Bhagavatam. Because it is a topic which is very closely related to these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, we will discuss those two devotees' cases also. Those two devotees, one is Sri Narada Maharshi and the other one is Vedavyasa Maharshi. As I mentioned before, Vedavyasa Maharshi was sitting in Shamyaprasam in his ashram in Badrinath, where one morning he became very thoughtful about his activities in this world. He has compiled so much literature for the benefit of the world, was not feeling any satisfaction from that. He was not feeling any satisfaction from that. He says, Sadhabhidalpa paridushyado me. I am not happy yet, even after compiling all this literature. What you have to remember is, Vedas and the Upanishads are revealed by the sages, by Krishna's arrangement. But Upanishads belong to that group. But Puranas like Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharatam, they were all compiled by Vedavyas. Valmiki compiled Ramayanam also. And Bhagavatam also compiled by Vedavyas. So, this compilation of Vedavyas is strictly in line with the Vedic knowledge which is originally in the Vedas and Upanishads, but presented to us in a form that can be easily understood by us. If we are finding difficult to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, how we will understand Upanishads? How we will understand the Vedas? So it makes more difficult. So it makes more sense to think that Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary on the, like Sadhani Mahaprabhu says, is the commentary on the Brahma Sutra itself. Rashyam Brahma Sutranam, he says. So, whatever it is, this discussion happened. How did it happen? Srinarada Maharshi, Vedavyasa was sitting there, completely in a thoughtful mood, unable to realize, why am I unhappy? I have done so much for this world, for the benefit. And whatever I knew, I had put it together, everything in these Puranas and Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam particularly, it is the science of Dharma. Mahabharatam is the greatest literature of Dharma. Isn't it? 125,000 verses. And I have sent everything and done everything what I had to do. Still, some lack of satisfaction in him. Great personalities, when they feel such dissatisfaction, they will look inwards themselves. And they were trying to find out what has happened, what has gone wrong in my life. Such an analysis is necessary because their life is sacrificed for others. In life, they have already come to the conclusion, if one wants to be happy in life, he has to sacrifice his life. Simply by living a life just to take everything what's been given by Krishna's arrangement and using it to make oneself happy and the happiness of one's own kith and kin and the family, and that kind of life will not give satisfaction. That will only eventually end up in unhappiness in life. So that is why it's said in the Shastram, Tyagam or sacrifice is more important than bhogam, than sense enjoyment. Sense enjoyment will eventually end up. And this is how the whole Vedic philosophy is based on this pure conception. That sacrificing for others one's own life and feel from that satisfaction that pleases Krishna. And in return one can free oneself from this cycle. This is how it is the knowledge in the Vedic literature goes to. So Vedavyasa Maharshi has done that. He has given his life for the benefit of others. He was not accumulating anything for himself. He wanted to make his life as a sacrifice to others. It is this very principle of sacrifice that pleases Krishna. When one follows this route, it pleases Krishna. Why in so many different traditions in the Vedic philosophy and live a life of austerities and penances and try to try to present the Krishna consciousness to others in their own capacity, whatever way they can do it, only for this reason that they want to sacrifice their life for Krishna. This is the purpose behind it. So anyway, what has happened now is Vedavyasa was unhappy. That is the problem here. So when he thought about it, he thought for a while, is it because Vasudeva Mahima Hyanuvarnidaha, did I not speak enough about the glories of Krishna? This was a little bit in his mind, working there. He had this thought in his mind, is that what I have not done properly? So why it's happening? So he said like this. And he thought, but such people, when somebody is in distress, great personalities, even for us also this can happen, that when you are actually in real distress in life, real distress in life, you will notice that Krishna will make an arrangement for a devotee. Anybody, doesn't matter. Whether it's you, whether it's me, whether it's Narada Maharshi, whether Vedavyas, anybody, doesn't matter. When you are in distress, Krishna will make sure either he will directly instruct you from inside the heart, or he will send somebody who will guide you in the right direction. And that is what has happened in Vedavyas case also. Here, who had come? Sri Narada Maharshi's beautiful sound from the veena. That is what Vedavyas has heard. Sri Narada Maharshi came there and they met. And as soon as Vedavyasa Maharshi saw Sri Narada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi and paid his obeisances, and Narada Maharshi in return accepted his respects and then wanted to know from Vedavyas why he looked so unhappy. Sages can find out from your face, they can read your mind. They are very capable of doing that, because they are inside, outside, they are present everywhere. Their realization is such. So they knew Vedavyas is in a distressed condition. So he asked Vedavyas about it, and Vedavyas answered him also. In the Bhagavatam you can see those things mentioned in the third chapter. Vyasa uvacha, asteva ve sarvam idam tvayoktam tathadinalpa paridushyate me. I am unhappy, Vedavyas is saying to Narada. I have done everything what I have to do. Asteva ve sarvam idam tvayoktam tathadinalpa paridushyate me. And tvam pariyatannarkam iva trilogi andascharo vayuriva alpasakshi paravane brahmani dharmado vradai snadasyame nyunamalam vichakshuvam. That Vedavyas is saying to Sri Narada Maharshi that you should know, I don't have to tell you why I am unhappy. Why I am unhappy, I don't have to tell you, because it's already, you are like air and the sun, inside, outside, everywhere you are present. So without my telling you anything, without me saying to you, you should be able to know why I am unhappy. And Sri Narada Vacha, Narada Maharshi is saying, Nathada Vasudevasya Mahima Hyanuvarnidam. That, let me ask, he says to Vedavyas. Narada Maharshi got up and started asking Vedavyas some questions here. Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, Vedavyasa Maharshi, no doubt whatever you have done in this world is very, very exemplary, something which no one has done before. And what you have done is, through compiling all this literature, you have given the understanding to the human society how they should conduct themselves in this world. Because every single dharma is discussed there. Varnashrama dharma is discussed. That means human society can follow that pattern of the structured form of living in this world. Through varnam, four varnas and four ashramas. Then purusha dharmam, stri dharmam, raja dharmam, all these different dharmam related to different bodies, male body, female body, king's body. Everything is discussed in the Mahabharatam and in the Puranas also, into different places. So what you have done is a wonderful job. But Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, what was the idea behind it, which I don't understand, he said. That Mahima Hyanuvarnidaha, that why was that you have not discussed about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why did you not do that? He says to Vedavyas. So Vedavyas was in a difficult position to answer this, because on one side in his mind he is thinking that maybe that was the reason, that I did not discuss the glories of Krishna enough. Maybe that was the reason. But then he had a valid reason for not doing it as well. That he was, his answer was like that. What he said to Narada Maharshi was, he says to Narada Muni, that my dear Narada Maharshi, that when I compiled all these the Mahabharata and all the Puranas, I had in my mind one intention, that was that the human society should follow these different injunctions in the Shastram, so that they can gradually elevate themselves and come out from the cycle of birth and death. Liberation was ultimately the goal. Keeping that in the forefront, I have compiled this Vedic literature, all this literature. But I do agree with you that glories of Krishna is as important as the executing one's dharma is concerned. I do agree with that. I should have discussed that also. But the reason why I did not want to discuss that, I wrote down all this dharma in the first, right? Mahabharatam was compiled full of injunctions on dharma. Particularly dharma is discussed in Mahabharatam. And that is the whole message in the Mahabharatam is dharma. How to execute one's dharma. So after writing all this, if I say to them that if you just surrender to Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna, all these things are not important. You know what will happen? They will completely ignore Mahabharatam and they will say, oh, we are all devotees. And in very short time they will degrade. I was frightened about that, he says. Vedavyasa says to Narada Muni, it will happen. You can see this. How complicated the whole thing. This is why Bhagavatam is to be understood in a very, very careful way. Otherwise, we will also can fall into the same trap. Vedavyasa Maharshi's point is very, very valid. His point was this, that suppose I have written down this code of conduct, what is known as Swadharmam. That is what it is. Swadharma means what is in every society, there is some Swadharma mentioned, isn't it? For example, we shouldn't lie, Satyam, truthfulness, Ahimsa, non-violence, Ahimsa, Satyam, free from anger, Krodham, Kamam, free from unnecessary desires, Lobham, greed, Buddha Prehide Vajam, Dharmoyam, Sarvavarnigaha, Krishna says in the Ekadasham, that speaking nicely to all the other living entities, not playing politics, not playing, trying to cheat each other. This is all the low mind that works like that, who has no dharma either. That is where that is coming from. But those who are in the dharma stage, they will follow these things at least. That the politicking nature, and also the deviousness, and all other kinds of impurities that is in our mind, is coming back because lack of dharma in us. So Vedavyasa's fear was very right, that if there is no dharma in a person, what will happen if I tell them that I've written all these dharmam, instructions on dharmam in Mahabharatam and all the other Puranas and also in the Smritis and all that, it is Parashara, Manu, Yajnavalkya Maharshi, all of them have spoken about so many things. And generally the human society follow this dharma, isn't it? Everyone generally supposed to follow this dharma if they are advanced in their life. But in addition to that, if I simply glorify Krishna and say to them that one who has taken complete shelter of Krishna and surrendered to Krishna and glorify Krishna, he is not bound by any of these dharmam, what will happen? What will happen? I know what will happen. What will happen is, we will say, oh, why bother about all these things when I got such an easy route. I am a devotee, so I can do what I want. Isn't it? Is that not what happens? Isn't it? It's a special license given to me because I am a devotee. I don't have to follow any rules of dharma. This is what will happen. And in order that one do not fall into that trap, Vedavyasa Maharshi knew this and he raised this doubt to Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi got angry at that time. He got up from his seat and started walking. My dear Vedavyasa Maharshi, because Narada Maharshi is a devotee, isn't it? Narada Maharshi is a devotee. He says to Vedavyasa like this, my dear Vedavyasa Maharshi, let me ask you some questions, he says. And it's the questions in the next few verses, there you can find. Question was, Tektva sudharmam charanam bhujam hare bhajanya bhakveda papetha dhoyadhi. First question, Narada Maharshi is asking to Sri Narada Maharshi, my dear Vedavyasa, answer this question to me. Why did you make my Krishna a second-class situation? Because this is a second-class situation. In other words, saying to people that if you follow Swadharmam, that is sufficient. Rather, you should be actually talking to them about the mercy of Krishna, merciful nature of Krishna, the glories of Krishna. and the importance of surrendering to Krishna. Why did you not stress this point when you compiled Mahabharatam? This was the question what Sri Narada Maharshi asked the first time to Sri Narada Vedavyas. And can you tell me from the history any time that a person who has given up his swadharmam or his own duty, responsibilities like that, and has taken complete shelter of Krishna, and then he has degraded himself. Is there any example for that? This was the question, first question from Narada Maharshi to Vedavyas. That is that verse in there. Prabhupada used to quote this verse all the time. Tektva swadharmam charanambujam harer bhajanyo pakveda patetadho yadi. That one has given up one's own swadharmam and has taken complete shelter and surrender to Krishna. Is there any instance in the history where he has degraded himself from that? That was the first question Sri Narada Maharshi has raised to Vedavyas. Vedavyas started thinking. Thinking, they couldn't find anybody. Because it has never happened, so how can you find anyone? One who has taken shelter of Krishna like that has never fallen. Provided he has taken shelter in that proper way. But he has not, one who has taken like that, there is nowhere in the history a person who has fallen after taking Krishna's shelter in the way it is spoken. Tektva swadharmam charanambujam harer bhajan abakveda patetadho yadi. This was that question. That swadharmam has tektva given up and charanambujam harer, Krishna's lotus feet he has taken shelter. So you can see how that shelter has to be. It has to be a proper shelter. It can't be something which we define in our terms. It has to be a shelter, proper shelter. Tektva swadharmam charanambujam harer bhajan abakveda patetadho yadi. He is doing bhajana. Bhajana means developing that love for Krishna. He has developed like that. And due to any reason, has he fallen down? Abakveda patetadho yadi. Apakva means it didn't mature. Before that, has he fallen like that? Give me one example, he said. To Sri Narada Maharshi told Vedavyas. Vedavyas thought for a while, there was no answer. Vedavyas said that, I didn't do it because of that, he said. But I had this fear in my mind about the people utilizing this as the license for giving up swadharmam. So I was frightened that they may do things in such a way that they won't follow any dharmam. And eventually, the whole thing will collapse. You see how Vedavyas' mind has gone very deeply into the subject. Because these two things, Swadharmam and Bhagavata Dharmam, or Swadharmam and Krishna Consciousness, they are two different things. They are two different things. That is why in that verse you will notice, Savaipum Samparo Dharmam Yatho Bhakti Rathokshajai Ahaituki Apradihada Yena Alma Samprasidadi. What is discussed there is, Savaipumsam Parodharmam. Parodharmam is what is discussed in the Parodharmam is what is discussed in the Bhagavadam. What is the difference between Swadharmam and Parodharmam? Swadharma means all the dharmam what is one is supposed to follow based on the Shastram. And the result of following Swadharmam is Arthagamam will be fulfilled. That means all his material desires, Artham and Kamam, will be fulfilled. And eventually, if Swadharmam is executed properly, he is even qualified for liberation. He is qualified for liberation. He can attain liberation from Swadharmam. But this Dharmam in the Bhagavadam, which is Krishna consciousness, is a different kind of Dharmam altogether. If you follow Swadharmam, what will you get? You may get all Arthagamam. You may go to the heavenly planets. You can even go to Brahmalokam. You may even get liberation. But if you follow Paradharmam or the Bhagavata Dharmam or Krishna consciousness, what will you get? You will get Krishna. You won't get all the other things. That's not what you are looking for. You will get Krishna if you follow the Paradharmam or the Bhagavata Dharmam. Liberation, Arthagamam, these are not important for the devotees. They are not priorities in one's life. That's finished. For the devotee, that's all finished. Otherwise, what will happen normally is, once you're undertaking to Srimad Bhagavatam, and then he's sticking to Swadharmam, If you keep sticking to Swadharma, then why study Srimad Bhagavatam? Why don't you study Mahabharatam then? That's the answer. But if you study Bhagavatam, Swadharmam is not the whole topic there. There, the science of how to develop Krishna consciousness, attachment to Krishna's lotus feet, that is what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because you get Krishna from Bhagavatam. And through the process, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and the process is meant for that. So, at that time, when he is mentioned like this to Vedavyas, Vedavyas couldn't answer. Now let me ask you another question, he said. Now Narada Muni won't leave him. He wanted to smash his understanding straight away. Not for any other reason. In order, through this Vyasa-Narada conversation, Vyasa-Narada Samvadam, they wanted to tell us how important it is to develop Krishna consciousness. That is the goal behind it. That otherwise Mahabharatam was sufficient. There is plenty of dharma spoken there. Why write another book? But tektva swadharmam charanam bhujam hare bhajanyo bhakveda pade tadho yadi. That was the first question. Then yatra kava bhadrama bhudam ushyakim kovatayapto bhajadam swadharmadha. Then now tell me Vedavyas, he says, the second question. Give me one example in the history where one has followed swadharmam properly and has attained perfection in his life. Vedavyas started thinking again. But again looking at it, there is none in the record. Because executing swadharmam and reaching perfection is very, very difficult. You may go to the higher planets, you may go to Brahmalokam, and sometimes you may attain liberation also, but that is not the perfection at the end. Liberation is available. Muktim dadahi karhijal smana bhakti yogam. In the fourth canto you can see that mukti, liberation, Krishna hands over very freely. It's not something very, very difficult to get from Krishna. Rajan Pagar Guru Ralam, it says like that. In the Parishad Maharaj was absolutely shocked when he was, if you discuss the story of the Rishabhadev story, remember that in the fourth canto, or fifth canto, when Maharaj Rishabhadev gave up his body, it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam that all the other living entities who were present there, they also entered into the fire and they also got liberated along with him. Parishad Maharaj, when he heard that, was started lamenting. Now, why did I not come to this world at that time? At least I could have entered into the fire with Rishabhadev and got out of this whole thing. Now, what have I done? I have come here, taken a dead snake, put it on the throat of this sage, and I am sitting here waiting for the curse to happen. Takshaka has to come in 7 days and kill me, and all these unfortunate things I have committed. So Parikshit Maharaj was thinking like this. At that time, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit, "My dear king, don't lament on this," he said. "My dear king, don't lament on this. Muktim dadahi karhichil smana bhakti yogam." Mukti, liberation, is easily attainable from Krishna. But bhakti, karhichil smana bhakti yogam. Before he gives bhakti to somebody, Krishna thinks millions of times whether he should get it or not. So that is bhakti. That is the power of bhakti. In the fourth canto it is spoken like that. So this is the situation. So here, yatra kava bhadram abhudam ushyakim ko vartayapto bhajadam swadharmada. Give me one example. Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, where one has executed swadharmam and he has perfected himself from this world. In that, give me one example. So Vedavyas could not give example to any of these two things, either of them. So Vedavyas was in a dilemma. Now Narada Maharshi says, "Do you know that how many people have? I can give you examples, many many examples, who have executed Krishna consciousness or Bhagavata Dharmam in their life, and they have perfected their life in that way." Vedavyas became very inquisitive to find out, when did this happen? Where did this happen? He says, "You don't want to go anywhere else. This me who is standing right in front of you is the best example." He says like that in the Bhagavatam. You can see that Vedavyas says like this to Narada Maharshi. He says there to Vedavyas, "I am the best example for this." And how did he say this?
മയദ്വജശ്ചിത്രപദം ഹരേർയശോ ജഗൽ പവിത്രം പ്രഗ്നീലകർഹിജൽ തദ്വായസം തീർത്ഥമുഷന്തി മാനസ മയത്രഹംസാനരമന്ദുശിക്ഷയ തദ്വാഗ്വിസർഗോ ജനതാഗസം വിപ്ലവോ യസ്മിൻ പ്രതിശോകമബദ്ധവത്യവീനാമാനി അനന്തസേഷോങ്കിതാനി യൽ ശൃണ്വന്തി ഗായന്തി ഗൃണന്തി സാധവ നൈഷ്കർമ്മം അച്യുതഭാവവർജിതം ന ശോഭതേ യാനം അലം നിരഞ്ജനം കുത പുനഃശ്വതഭദ്രമീശ്വരേ ന ചാർപ്പിതം കർമ്മയദപ്യകാരണം ഹി സേസ് ദേർ ദാറ്റ് നൈഷ്കർമ്മമപി അച്യുതഭാവവർജിതം ന ശോഭതേ ഇഫ് വിതൗട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഇൻ വൺസ് ലൈഫ് ആൻഡ് വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ് പ്രോപ്പർ കൃഷ്ണ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് വൺ എക്സിക്യൂട്ട്സ് കർമ്മം ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഗോയിംഗ് ടു റിലീസ് ഹിം ഫ്രം ദിസ് ബോണ്ടേജ് ന ചാർപ്പിതം കർമ്മയദപ്യകാരണം അധോഭാഭാഗഭവാനമോഹദ്രശ്രുചിശ്രവസ്യാസത്യരഥോധൃതവ്രത ഉരുക്രമസ്യാഖിലബന്ധമുക്തയെ സമാധിനാനുസ്മരതദ്വിജേഷ്ഠിതം സോ ഓൾ ദീസ് നമ്പർ ഓഫ് വേഴ്സസ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് നാരദ മഹർഷി ഈസ് ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ടിംഗ് വേദവ്യാസ് ടു ടേക്ക് കൃഷ്ണ കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ആൻഡ് ടു കമ്പൈൽ എ ലിറ്ററേച്ചർ ഇൻ ടേംസ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് സയൻസ് ഓഫ് ഭക്തി So that is how Vedavyas has compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this example Sri Narada Maharshi gave at that time about himself, Vedavyas wanted to know from him that how did that happen to you? That how did you practice Bhagavata Dharma? Because as far as Vedavyas knew, Narada Muni also admits that he didn't study any of the Vedic literature, nor the Vedas, nor the Upanishads. Nothing he has studied. Nor he followed process of Swadharmam, what Vedavyasa has been writing down in the Mahabharata and all that. Without all that, Narada Maharshi is in this position instructing Vedavyasa what to do. So you can see that Narada Maharshi says, I am the best example, and then he goes back to his story, which we have spoken in the first canto, but I'll briefly touch that because to make us understand something very important which comes later. When Narada Maharshi said to Vedavyasa that I am the best example for that, and then he said, in my previous life, not previous life, he says, actually, previous kalpam. Kalpam means the day of Lord Brahma. That means, not even in his previous lifetime, he says, previous kalpam. In the last day of Lord Brahma, I was born as a son of a servant maid. And my work was to assist my mother. She was working in a Brahmana's house, and she was a servant maid. Naturally, I was her son. So I used to do some kind of service there in helping my mother, and they used to look after me. And this was my survival existence in this world. And it so happened that this householder, Brahmana, he was comparatively wealthy. So naturally, at that time, there was this system of Chaturmasyam. Chaturmasyam means the 4 months when sannyasis take time off from their travel. Normally they travel to different places of pilgrimage, and they are always traveling completely broken off from home. They have given up all their connections with family, parents, family, children, everything, and taken to spiritual life totally. And that is their process. So 8 months in a year they wander around in this way, but 4 months during the rainy season they have to go and take shelter somewhere. And normally householders who are capable of maintaining them, they normally provide the facilities for sannyasis. This was the system in those days. So when these 4 sages came to this Brahmana's house, they told the Brahmana that they want to spend their Chaturmasyam time there. Chaturmasyam is generally meant for the sannyasis. And in that 4 Chaturmasyam months, they will spend in very strong, intense sadhana to execute their spiritual life, and also they will study a lot, and they will also spend their time in discussion about various spiritual topics. That is how they spend that time. So it so happened that this householder has given all facilities to these 4 sages who came to their house, and Chaturmasya Shala, a separate building was constructed for that. Building means, it's not like today that they need all these facilities. Nothing is required. Just a separate building from the main house they live, that will be normally made out of palmyra leaves or bamboos, and a simple temporary hut or thatched roof hut for temporarily for 4 of them to stay so that they can continue their simple, austere life in spiritual life. So that's what was offered to them, and they were living there. And generally, once they leave this Chadurmasya Shala, or the building, or whatever the temporary hut that they have built, that will be also destroyed. So they have given this facility for them, and they asked this Narada Muni, who was a little boy, he told him that, Narada, you go and look after them. Whatever they need, you provide them. If they need any sort of help, come back and tell us. All the arrangements are already made for them, as far as their prasadam and other things are concerned. Normally they won't demand so much. Their life will be so simple. They'll bathe in the river, and virtually all they need is a place to lie down, free from the sun and the rain. And so Narada Muni was told by the Brahmana that you stay with them, and if they tell you anything, come back and tell me, and I'll make arrangements for them. So that was the agreement. So Narada Muni was staying with them as a little boy. When he was staying with them, he was observing their way of life. The sages who have come for this Chaturmasyam, they used to, every morning, after they have performed all their routine activities, what they used to do was, they used to discuss different topics in relation to spiritual life. So at that time, Narada Maharshi used to sit there and listen to it. When he was listening, that he could not understand many, many things, what they spoke to each other. If you start talking about Brahmam, Karmam, Maya, and Jiva, and Supas Paramatma and all that, what will Narada Muni understand? He's only 5 or 6 years old, a young little boy. He wouldn't know anything. But he was curious to hear what they were talking to each other. These four sages understood that this boy is very interested in what we are discussing. Maybe our discussion should be such that he can also understand something from this. That was their kindness to him. You see how association makes things change. Association can make a person's life change if you get the right association like that. They are kind. Sages are very kind people. And they were not ordinary sages in the sense. Normally when they take sannyas, people take sannyas, they take it that, oh, I have to give up all attachment to this world. That is true. You have to give attachment to this world. Give up the attachment for wife, children, parents, this, that, everything. Everything in relationship with material life, you have to give it up. But that alone is not sannyasam. Sannyasam means, on the one side, it's not only giving up, it's also acceptance of Krishna completely into your life. That is also necessary. Otherwise, that sannyasam is not complete. So, otherwise when you feel that sometimes a difficulty comes in sannyasa ashram, it's only because of this, that they have accepted 50% of the sannyasa ashram, which is the size of giving up the material attachment. On the other hand, it should be replaced by acceptance of Krishna in spiritual life. If you have not done that, that sannyasa ashram is not complete. And this is what they have done. So this they have accepted completely. So when they saw that Narada Maharshi was interested in this, Sri Krishna, the sages changed the topic and started discussing about Krishna. And they knew Narada Maharshi will relish it, that discussion of the pastimes of Krishna. Tatranvaham Krishna katha pragayada anugrahena shranavam manohara. And in the Bhagavadam, if you read those verses, you will be thrilled by the Narada Muni's the excitement hearing this. Tatranvaham Krishna katha pragayada anugrahena shranavam manohara. That the things were spoken in such a way that a five-year-old boy will get attracted to it. That was the way they spoke about Krishna. All the childhood pastimes were spoken in such a way that they got attracted to Narada Muni, started getting attracted to Krishna. So you can see the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just by hearing 4 months from the Chaturmasyam time from the sages, Narada Muni has become what Narada Muni is. That is the power of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So they heard Srimad Bhagavatam, and at the end of 4 months, Narada Muni did not do anything else. No interested in playing any games. Bala Kridage, Anuvartini, Alpabhashini, or so many things spoken about Narada Muni at that time, that he was not interested in playing, not talking to anyone else, just absorbed in listening about Krishna continuously. That was what he was doing. So when this happened, at the end of 4 months, these four sages were leaving. When they were leaving, Naramuni wasn't there. He was doing something else. So the Brahmana family came, they paid their respects, took their blessings and all that. So at that time, the four sages, one of them said to the Brahmana, there was one boy who used to sit here whole day and listen to us, and he used to do all kinds of work here. Where is he? He wasn't there, Naramuni wasn't there. So, first of all, the Brahmana could not think who it was they were referring to, because they pointed out that they thought that he is a member of the Brahmana's family. So he didn't realize that. The Brahmana could not answer anything. At that time, one other sage said, maybe that he was someone who has been working for you as a servant or something. Ah, immediately they realized who it was Narada Muni. So what did they do? The Brahmana went back home and said to Narada, Narada, they are leaving now, the four sages are leaving. Go there and pay your obeisances and get their blessings, whatever you can get from them. Please do that immediately. Brahmana told him in a nice way. When the boy came, Narada Maharshi came to see them. Actually, tears were coming from Narada Maharshi's eyes. Why? He was thinking, if they go away, who will tell me about Krishna from tomorrow? Because he was actually relishing the pastimes of Krishna to such an extent that he was thinking, who will talk to me about Krishna tomorrow? And he paid his obeisances to them. And when he woke up, the four sages saw the tears in Narada Muni's eyes. Young boy, 5 or 6 years old, he was crying. And he was crying, and they asked him, why do you cry? He said to them that it is not possible for me now to stay here like this. If you leave, what will I do? And who will tell me about my Krishna? He says, by now it has become my Krishna. Up to this time for us, it is somebody else, isn't it? Krishna is everybody else's Krishna, not my Krishna. But for Narada Muni, it is my Krishna now. So he listened, and the sages said, put all their hands on his head and told him, don't worry. You remember all the stories what we have spoken to you? Yes, he said. Then now you go and remember all those stories, chant Krishna's name and pass your time like that. And saying like that, they left. They have given him that agreement, consign. Their mercy was come to him. He got their mercy. What more do you want? After that, Narada Muni said, no more staying here at home. What do I do with these people here? And on the very same day, Narada Muni was thinking that the whole thing is that now I have to find him, Krishna. I have to find Krishna now. Narada Muni says to himself that I've heard everything about this personality, Krishna, from these four sages, and now I have to find him. And they were telling me that he is in the forest most of the time. Krishna is available in the forest. You have to go to the forest. So Narada Muni, but unfortunately there was a lot of attachment there with the mother. Mother was the problem. What shall I do? Mother has been looking after me all the time. And now if I slowly leave mother like this, what will happen? If mother wasn't there, how nice it would have been. This is how the thoughts went in. So on that very same day when he thought like this, that very evening she got bitten by a snake and she died. And the mother died. Now Narada Muni felt happy. Mother is also gone. The last connection with this world is finished. The last connection with this world is finished. Why do I have to worry about now? Completely free and independent. Now you know why freedom from attachment is necessary. Freedom from all bondage is necessary to free oneself from this world. Otherwise it's not easy. Otherwise we'll keep on doing the same thing day after day after day, and we will come back with the same results day after day. Nothing will change. So Narada Muni walked away from there and went to the forest. And in the beginning, Narada Muni sat down there, drank some water from the river, and started meditating on the form of Krishna, what was spoken to him by the sages. He started meditating, and in a very short time, Krishna came up inside the mind. Very, very short time he came up. Narada Muni thought, after seeing him, that form of Krishna inside, it was a bliss that he has never experienced before. You can imagine why. Why? Because once you see Krishna, the first thing what happens is that Maya is gone, isn't it? There is no more Maya after that. And once you are out of Maya, what does it mean? It means Sachidanandam, eternal blissful and knowledge, full of bliss and full of eternal life. That's what you get. As soon as you experienced the Krishna inside, as soon as he saw Krishna inside, he could not believe himself. That was a shocking revelation to him. Why? Because he has never ever experienced this before in his lifetime. A happiness that followed by seeing Krishna. Standing there inside, one flute in the hand, 2 to 3 years old, that is what Narada Muni was thinking about. Hand, butter in the hand, and peacock feather, anklets, everything, and a first class yellow garment on the waist, everything. I have come, Narada, now to see you. This is what he was speaking to Narada Maharshi. Narada looked at him, the beauty of the Supreme Personality, and the way he spoke, and he could not believe himself what he was seeing. Narada Muni sat like this, didn't know what to say to Narada Muni. So Narada Muni said, thought himself, I won't move, I'll sit like this steady and enjoy this scene, what he was seeing inside in himself. It lasted for some time, and then Krishna spoke to him. Krishna spoke to him like this. Why did you call me? That normally it is difficult for ordinary people to see me like this. It is Handasmin Janmani Bhavan Name Drishtumihar Hari Avivakashayanam Durdarshoham Kuyoginam. Bhagavadam says like this. Handasmin Janmani Bhavan. How many lifetimes one has to go through before he gets to see me like this? Namam Drishtumihar Hari. In order to get qualified to see me like this. Because unless you are matured in your spiritual life and come to that perfection, durdarshoham kuyoginam. Kuyoginam, one who is not perfect in their yoga system, he cannot see me. So Krishna was saying to Narada Muni that you are not seeing me because you are qualified. That I am showing to you. You are not qualified. First Krishna made it clear to Narada Muni. You are not qualified to see me. But why I have revealed to you? Because that has come only because of my mercy to you. I wanted to show some mercy to you. Because you wanted to see me all the time. You are crying for it. So many months now. 4 months with the sages and now coming to the forest. Seeing that sincerity in Narada Maharshi, Krishna says to him, I have decided to show myself to you. But that's not going to last very long, he said. I am going to go now. And Narada Maharshi started looking. Little by little, that form started disappearing from inside. Started disappearing, and eventually, the last thing that disappeared was the peacock feather. The peacock feather also disappeared. When the whole thing disappeared from Narada Muni's vision, Krishna started, Narada Muni started crying. He was rolling on the ground. Then he did not cry when his mother died. He didn't cry when he was going through a lot of poverty and other problems. For the first time in his life, he cried. He cried and cried for continuously for losing Krishna. The first vision of Krishna for the devotee. It is a very special thing. First time when a devotee sees Krishna. So that is what has happened. And because time is short, I'll quickly try to finish this. So Narada Maharshi sat down and started crying. At that time Krishna thought, if I just go away like this, this boy may even give up his body. It looks like that the way he is crying now. And so he says to Narada Muni, he spoke to him and told him, that takes Narada, take it one thing. In this lifetime, you will not be able to see me again. You will not be able to see me again. But you will see me in the next lifetime, and you will get all the association from me from in the next lifetime. But what shall I do now? Narada Muni says to Krishna. Krishna said, what shall I do? He was crying, didn't know what to do. And there is a beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam where what Krishna told Narada Muni. It is exactly the same words, instructions to us also. What does it say? It says there like this, that that in the Bhagavatam, it is spoken like this then.
Namanyanandasya hadatra vapadan guhyani badrani kridani yasmaran gam paryadan tushtamana gadaspruha kalam pradikshan vimato vimalsaraha. Namanyanandasya hadatra vapadan.
Krishna says to Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, it was not difficult for me to give up my attachment, but it was difficult for me to give up Krishna. In other words, he has come to that state of consciousness. Nama ananda sehadatrava padhan, that Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, you know my different holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Nama ananda sehadatrava padhan, don't feel shy. Krishna says to Narada Muni, don't feel shy. Simply chant my holy name all the time. Guhyani Badrani Kridani Chasmaran. That keep remembering everything what the sages have told you about my activities in this world. My pastimes, in other words. Namanyanandasya hadatrava padan guhyani badrani kridani chasmaran. Then after that, gam paryanan. Wander around in this earth freely, tushtamana, fully satisfied, gadaspraha, without desiring for anything. Then, kalam pradeksho, vimato vimalsara. Then, wait for the time to come, in free from envy, free from any kind of attachment to anything, just wander around in this world in that way and come back to me. Is not that what Krishna is telling us also? This is all the chanting process is about. People ask how many rounds I should chant and how should I chant? All kinds of questions. This one verse is the answer to all the questions. Namanyanandasya hadatra vapadan guhyani badhani kridani jasmaran gam paryanan tushtamana gadaspraha kalam pradekshan vimado vimalsaraha. This is all what Krishna is saying to us. Don't have to worry anything else in this world. Whatever that comes, accept it. Whatever don't come, don't lament about it. Leave it at that. But do this important thing. What is that? Namanyanandasya hadatrava padan. Chant Krishna's name continuously, all the time, without any shame feeling. Oh, if I chant, what others will think about me? You don't have to worry about that. Bhagavadam is giving you this. This one verse is a guarantee for the devotee who has taken the shelter of the holy name. Namanyanandasya hadatrava padan. Only one shouldn't feel any shame. Just chant the holy name continuously. And then, guhyani, bedrani, kridani, chasmaran. Remember all those pastimes of Krishna in the Bhagavadam, what has been presented. And then, gam, paryanan, tushtamana, gadasvriha. Wander around in this world. You don't have to worry about this, that or the other. Nothing in this world is there to stop you from doing this. Gam paryanan tushtamana gadasprahaam. And then kalam pradiksho vimato vimalsaraha. And when the time, appropriate time comes, Krishna says, you can come back to me. This is exactly the same verse is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to us also. Trinara vishuni jaina taroravi sahishnuna amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. This is all. Krishna consciousness is nothing but this is what it is. Krishna consciousness is this. Simply chanting Krishna's holy names and passing the time in this world. Don't worry about this dharmam, that dharmam, no dharmam will stay at the end. But at the same time, does that mean that we should not follow the rules of this dharmam? No, that does not mean that. That also we have to remember. That is not giving us a license to do anything what we want. The principles of these Bhagavata Dharmam, principles of Bhagavata Dharmam are only valid as long as one does not break the laws of the Swadharmam also. This is an advanced state of consciousness. One should move on from Swadharmam. One should not get stuck with Swadharmam. One should move on from Swadharmam. And at some point in time, one will be able to even give up Swadharmam. And that is spoken later on. We'll discuss that next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, that was a big deal.